Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, the program is covering Filene's Big Bright Minds, located in Irvine, California, this time around. And look who is here in this virtual studio lounge, Aaron Coleman from Filene. Aaron, how are you?
So good. It's really good to see you, Mike, as always. Look forward to seeing you in person again sometime soon.
Next year, for sure. We'll get there for sure next year. So yeah. That's right. Right there next to you. Indeed. All right. Hey, first question I'm asking everybody is like, how does it feel to be back in person? I mean, this is pretty cool stuff. For a lot of people, it might be the first conference in like a year and a half, 2 years, maybe.
Right. Yeah. We've heard a lot of that. I've been in front of people a few times. This is the largest conference that I've been at. And, you know, it's gone really well. It's really wonderful to see people that we know and love and be able to, you know, talk to them closely and not through this artificial barrier of a screen. And it has been such a luxury and a treat and so important to be able to still invite our virtual audience and have them involved. And we've been so lucky. They are always so engaged and ask lots of questions and very excited, just as excited. And so, you know, I just think that that's probably a format that I hope is here to stay throughout, not just at Filene, because it allows so many more people to take part in, you know, events like this that really help us move forward.
I'm glad you said that, because I got some feedback yesterday from a couple of people that I talked to. It said Filene has really set the template for the perfect hybrid conference.
Oh,
I went, whoa. I said, this is the way conferences are going to be moving forward, because you guys have crossed all your T's and dotted all your I's and thinking of everything as far as safety, as far as accessibility, both online and in person, the mask, the whole nine yards. So yeah, I mean, I've gotten, you know, such great feedback. So, I mean, I think John Janclay was one of them who said, I think this is going to be the template for the future. So kudos to you guys for doing a stellar job.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Well, we enjoy it. I mean, we really care about our members and we rely upon them. So being able to have them involved, no matter where they are, is super important to us.
Indeed. All right. All right. Let's get to some content, shall we? Because we got a little bit of ground to cover here. I want to start off with asking you about the credit union strategic playbook, because this is going to set the tone for everything else, it sounds like. So can you give us a quick overview on what you guys are doing here?
Sure. So through conversations with credit union executives across the country and beyond, we learned that really the things that are keeping them up at night fall into three buckets. So we have kind of curated those into what we call the credit union strategic playbook. And all of the work that we're delivering out of our centers, although focused on their areas of research, really center around one of these three. So the first one is digital transformation. And that's really around, you know, before the pandemic, we were on various stages of our digital transformation journey. And then the pandemic really just accelerated everything. I mean, as consumers, we all are using, regardless of our age, a lot more technology than we were before. Our expectations went up along with it.
Oh, yeah.
And credit unions, like many, many organizations, were forced to really press down the gas pedal on our digital efforts. And we learned where we had some strengths and where we have opportunities. And we're still kind of figuring that out. So some of the work that we're looking at has to do with that connection between high tech, which consumers want and they need to have, whether it's an emergency or whether it's just because they can't get there for whatever reason, they need high tech, but they also rely on us for high touch. So how do we marry those two things?
Yeah.
And so I love this quote from our fellow Bill Maurer at the Center for Emerging Technology. He says, no, it's really not the tech, it's the trust. We have an opportunity to leverage the relationships that we have and to design experience that leverages our trust and make sure we're still there for our members, regardless of how they want to speak to us.
Yeah, so true.
And then to enable that, of course, you need the infrastructure to support it. And Dr. Sherry Spire-Pero at the Center for Consumer Data Analytics, she talks about this notion of an ecosystem, and there's an external and internal, and right now our focus is on internal. So that is, how do we create the structures that we need to have a really flexible backbone to manage that technology? And so that requires leadership and create a data-driven organization from the top. Human capital. So we need technical expertise, of course, you know, data scientists, for example. We also need subject matter experts, absolutely critical to understanding the business. What are the questions that are going to drive value so we know how to use the data? And then leaning into a change management culture, which really success, right? And so that's going to take some time. And so that's where we might be able to use innovation to do that. And so what she and her colleagues are looking to do, we just launched the first industry-wide survey around data readiness, data analytics readiness, and it takes about 10 minutes to complete. Mm-hmm. And what we're trying to understand is how folks are using data analytics and business intelligence today and what their plans are for the future and where they are in terms of this infrastructure I just described. So I think we can post, if we can post the link in the session notes.
Of course.
It'll take about 10 minutes. And then not only do you get to participate in this great survey, you also get, credit unions will get a customized index of where they sit within the big picture of how, of what's going on around data readiness in the industry.
Right on. Yeah. Happy to do so. Happy
to help. Early January. So we're real, real excited about that. And we need as many credit unions to participate as possible. That's digital. So as usual, we have plenty going on.
A little bit, Aaron, a little bit. Oh my gosh. Talk to us about the value proposition, because I think yesterday's theme was the credit union value proposition.
Remixing the credit union value proposition. So we really believe that credit unions who not only have a strong value proposition, but one that is defensible and connects to the needs of the people that they serve, they're really in the best position to survive and thrive and grow. And so, you know, the question is, as we see more and more people who have needs and we really dig into what those needs are, you know, how do we leverage diversity, equity, inclusion and our involvement in the community to deliver that extreme value? And so, you know, when it comes to DEI, we know that there's a moral and social imperative. And what Dr. Quinetta Robertson has been studying is the business imperative connected to DEI. He just has presented the initial findings around DEI practices and their impact on business performance. And what she talked to us about this week was around bundles. So groups of individual practices that are bundled together. And when they are, they seem to deliver consistently. Those credit unions see higher ROA and higher net income. And so the specific bundles are around, and it makes sense, setting a strategy, and creating goals around the strategy, and then tracking those goals. And so we'll continue.
Simple.
Yeah, we'll continue to dig into that data.
Okay.
What's really exciting is there really has not been a lot of work inside credit unions or anywhere else, frankly, for years and years around this, maybe ever. I think Quinetta said there was one other, but it didn't really have any many conclusive results. So this is really, really exciting for a lot of reasons. And we're looking forward already to the second round because this will be another longitudinal study.
I call it proof in the pudding, Aaron, that this stuff is working.
that's really, really great. And, you know, in terms of community social impact, one of the things that credit unions are known for is our connection to community and that we know the people that we serve and we're in there. You know, we pay attention to them. We know what's going on with our neighbors and friends. And Dr. Mai Nguyen says we also have an opportunity to really dig into that, to create a strategic advantage, and also to help really be a catalyst for positive community change to eliminate some of these big systemic challenges that exist across America. So this week, she challenged us to be community development organizations and asked us what's keeping us from doing that, from being more involved.
Good point.
Yeah, and what tools do you need? And so these are some questions that credit unions are tackling, and this is some research that she's looking at, and her reports on that are forthcoming very shortly.
I can't wait to see that, because I always look at it as like it goes way beyond the transaction. It goes way beyond the loan because, I mean, this is a really deeper meaning to the community, which gets us back to the value proposition. I mean, it's just such incredible value that the credit union is bringing to the community, and therefore the community is going to give back as well. So it's a kind of this give and take type thing. So yeah, I can't wait to hear those findings as well. So definitely good stuff. You also want to talk about something about growth. I apologize for my notes.
No, really that's bad. Okay. There's a lot to remember. So I think we all have them. I'm not as smart as our fellows, so I always have my notebook with me as well. Yeah. So the third thing is really around growth.
Okay.
And, you know, despite the fact that we are prudent managers of capital and prudent managers of expenditures, despite the fact that we perform very well compared to many of our banking competitors, still our revenues are sliding. And so that compels us to think about how are we going to change our business model? We really got to rethink all the ways that we grow and how do we do that? And so a couple of things that we're looking at there, number one is innovation, because we really have an opportunity now to flex our creativity to really think about innovation and how can we use that to come up with new solutions. And so what's been really intriguing to people this week is the notion of entrepreneurship in credit unions.
Yeah.
And also intrapreneurship, which is how do you cultivate and foster entrepreneurship from within the credit union instead of it coming like top down.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of buzz about that and Dr. Robinson's work at our Center for Innovation and Incubation.
Yeah, I love that type of philosophy. I love the entrepreneurship type philosophy. If you're not an entrepreneur, within your own company, you can be your own entrepreneur. So yeah.
Yeah, I think that entrepreneur thing is really, really fascinating. And I'm looking forward to a lot more from Dr. Robinson since I spend a bit of time teaching innovation in my day job. Really looking forward to working with him. And then also from Dr. Servan at the Center for Consumer Financial Lives and Transition, you know, we can get really into all the different kinds of financial insecurity that unfortunately exist among all of us. It's not just those other people. It exists in the room I'm in. It exists in your town, in my town, all across the country. And there are broad political and economic reasons for that. The thing is this, we have an opportunity to really dig into the needs of the people we serve to create solutions to their problems.
Right.
Products and services, solutions, and that will create great, you know, love and loyalty and also help us fulfill our mission, which is super important and why we all do this work in credit unions.
Exactly.
Lisa introduced this notion of the curb cut effect that I had not heard of before.
I heard about that too. Yeah. We talked about the first day. Yeah.
Okay. You did. Okay. Yeah. So that's really great. So how, if we develop a solution for one group of people, sometimes it actually helps a whole bunch of other people that we didn't even realize. Mm-hmm. So you agree. She suspects that there is great opportunity there. And I do too, based on, you know, what she's studying and what we talk about. So really looking forward to a lot more there.
Yes, I have to give kudos to Holly. She was the one who actually brought that up in our day one wrap up. So yeah, I find that super fascinating as well, how something so simple can affect such a great, such a large population. So good stuff. Good stuff indeed. Anything else, Aaron? I mean, this is quite the list you provide. As usual, Aaron, you over-deliver. So thank you for that.
I know. I've always got way too much to say. So
No. We like this. This is valuable. Talk about value proposition. This is valuable.
Right. Yes, exactly. Well, you know, that's what happens when you're around a long time and you really care about the work. So I would just ask people to please continue to follow our work. Let us know what's important to you. And then please do help us with that digital readiness
survey.
Because we really think it's going to be transformational. And I'm really, really excited about these longitudinal studies that we're doing at multiple centers. And also the cross-pollination of what our fellows are studying. So even though Bill Maurer is focused on emerging technology, he's also focused on what does that mean for populations who have traditionally been underserved.
Right, right.
And that marries really well with Quinetta's work, with Mai Nguyen's work. Mm-hmm. I really love that. I can't wait for that to continue to be fostered and have some more interaction, collaboration between the centers.
Was that planned, Aaron, or is that something that just kind of organically happened? Because, I mean, I like both ways that it happened, but gosh, yeah. if that's organic, that's really, really cool.
I think it's a combo platter.
Yeah. Okay. Combo platter. All righty. We'll take that. Yum. And it's getting close to lunchtime too. All right. Good timing. Okay. All right, Aaron, anything else here to add? This is fantastic. As well as usual, you over-deliver. The conference is just absolutely stellar as always. You guys do such a great job and the content is second to none. It just really makes you think about it. and really kind of analyze things. And okay, let's set our course for 2022. That's what I like about Big Bright Minds, is because it's at that time of the year where you're kind of recollecting what happened in the previous year, but man, it really sets your compass for what's to come in 2022. So the timing.
I've noticed that it's purposeful. So.
Ah, another something else that's planned. I like that. Okay, yes. Good. Yes. All right, Aaron. Well, I'm going to let you get going.
Thank you so much, Mike. Always a pleasure. I said the plan's behind the magic.
That's right.
Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, you're so welcome. Yeah, always happy to have you on, Aaron, and keep up the good work, okay?
Okay, ditto, Mike. Take care.
All right, you too. Bye.